Welcome back to another episode of Extra Credit, a weekly podcast from the National Association of Credit Management, where you can expect to hear from different credit professionals each Friday. We'll help you stay informed about the latest in the B2B credit world. My name is Anna Caroline Caruso, NACM's Editor-in-Chief. Now let's dive into this week's top stories. The Credit Managers Index fell 1.2 points in November to a new 28-month low of 52, continuing its downward trend. This is the lowest value since spring of 2020 and the lowest non-recession, non-pandemic value recorded. NACM economist Amy Cruz Cutts says the CMI is a strong indicator that a recession is imminent because creditors have a finger on the pulse of the economy at all times.
The November 22 CMI report is, to me, pretty telling. This is some new information now. We've been declining for about 8 months, if you sort of draw a straight line down, ignoring a few of the little bobbles we had in September and August. But importantly, it's the lowest level that we've seen in the index that's not in a recession or as we were digging our way out of the worst of the pandemic. So kind of in that April, May timeframe of 2020. This all says to me that the industry, you know, businesses are feeling the crunch, that there's this sort of cumulative effect. It may not be technical recession yet, as defined by the National Bureau of Economic Research, who dates recessions. Often they tell you about a year after the recession has started, that that's when they think it started because the data are lagged. But you know, the advantage of the CMI is it's kind of almost real time. It happens every month. And you know, if the payments don't come in, the businesses are feeling it immediately. This is not something that take lightly. So I look at this and I say, you know, the CMI is clearly pointing to recession earlier rather than later, which I think is key. And this is across the board. It's not just the manufacturing. It's not just services. You know, both of them have experienced pretty deep declines and similar patterns across the factors.
The combined index of unfavorable factors fell 1.4 points in November into contraction territory at 49.3. And the favorable factors are also down significantly. Cutts says days beyond terms and sales are two of the most concerning factors.
The favorable factors are down 8 points since this time last year. And importantly, sales are down almost 13 points. And what's important to that is, again, I look at the comments from our respondents, and for a while, they've been indicating they've been raising prices, but unit sales have been declining. So the fact that the sales index now has declined so far is telling me that their price increases are not keeping up with the unit sales drops. So we're seeing sort of, even though the value is positive, it's at 54.5, you know, it's 13 points below where it was. We hit 80 earlier this year on that index. So to be at 54 is a pretty big drop. And then on the unfavorable factors, dropping below that magic 50 factor is a combination of factors that have been negative for some time, like disputes and dollar amount of customer deductions, which have sort of a dual edge now. I think one, it started off being protests about not getting supplied, you know, the things being shipped on time and in the quantities desired, and sort of that protest to more respondents indicating that there may be an inability to pay or a lack of staffing, so things are not getting paid timely. The collections, they're saying, have been holding up, but they're having to work harder for that. So I think what we're seeing now is that degradation in the unfavorable factors. Dollar amount beyond terms is kind of my favorite metric to look at. That one, you know, fell this month to 47.6. It's been in this low territory for a while. And I think, you know, that's kind of, to me, canary in the coal mine, because you go first beyond terms and then really comes the inability to pay.
The downward CMI trend is backed by other recession indicators as well. For example, the yield curve is currently at one of its deepest inversions on record, a sign that has preceded nearly every recession.
Importantly, on April 1st, the two-year Treasury paid a higher yield than the 10-year Treasury. That was the start of the inversion. Since then, it's gotten steeper and more of the yield curve of short-term bond rates have gotten above the long-term, especially the 10-year rate. And the difference between the two-year and 10-year Treasury was 78 basis points, so more than three-quarters of a percentage point. The last time we saw this much of a difference between those two rates was in 1981. When we were deep in the throes of that recession. So, you know, I think that we are headed for recession sooner rather than later. I know I've been early on the recession bandwagon, and I don't mean to sound, you know, overly pessimistic. There's still wide-ranging debate among economists of what this recession will look like. Will it have a big rise in unemployment given the tight labor market. Will people hoard labor instead of laying it off? I know in the tech sector, we've seen some pretty big layoff announcements. Or will it be, you know, some other type of recession? Every recession is new and different in its own way, and the causes are new and different in their own ways.
Cutts says she expects the Federal Reserve to continue raising interest rates for some time, though less aggressively.
The thing about inflation is that even if the recession were to technically start now, inflation numbers won't come down for some time. I mean, that's sort of a lagged effect, right? And so the Fed, in its quest to quell inflation, is likely to continue raising interest rates. Now, will they continue aggressively with 75 basis points? I don't think so. I think it's more likely that we'll see 50 and then 25s. You know, the Fed is doing a great job of trying to manage their mandate, but the information they're getting, the way, you know, the metrics that we have to look at are often lagged. The Fed is likely to continue on this course for at least a couple more months. They may slow the rate and they may pause it, you know, between, but I don't expect a pause this year and I don't expect a rate cut if it happens until the end of next year.
You can find the full CMI report on our website at nacm.org. That's all for this week's episode of Extra Credit. We'll be back next Friday, but until then, be sure to follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn. You also can register for any of next week's webinars. Subchapter 5 of the Bankruptcy Code, Its Impact on Trade Creditors, on Wednesday, Managing the Costs of Customer Pushback Terms and Web Billing Portals on Thursday, and a Global Expert Briefing on Friday.